Good morning. A hearty welcome to each and every one of you that has come to this morning's worship service. And if we have guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well. My name is Jeff Hildebrand, and it's certainly a joy to be here this morning. And I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's unite our hearts with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, and Lord, as we look into the birth of your Son and what he ultimately did for us, Lord, we give you honor, praise, and glory, and a heartfelt thanks. Lord, we are so thankful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to redeem us of our sin. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your holy word this morning. And Father, if there's anyone here in our midst this morning that has a hardened heart, Lord, that you would soften their heart and that they would come to know you as personal Savior and Lord of their life. Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth this morning, Lord, we ask that you bless those speakers and those that are to receive your word. Lord, we also ask that you be with those that could not be here for whatever reason, whether they're in care homes or hospitals or at home, that they could not come out. Lord, that you would be with them, that they would also receive a message of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we look into the holiday season here, help us to be mindful of why we celebrate the birth of your Son. And let us focus on that birth and that gift that you have given to us. Father, we want to pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So as we were coming in this morning, I noticed that there were a few children coming in today. And so I thought I would start it off this morning with a bit of a story that was shared with us last night at our Christmas program in the village of Summerfeld. This came from one of our Sunday school teachers who had been sent an email by a former woman in our church. She has gone to be with the Lord. She tragically died in an accident a number of years ago. And she sent this email to him about 10 years ago. And the story goes something like this. And I won't say it. I mean, I don't know it word for word, but I think you'll get the point. There was a couple that had a couple of children, and the husband was an atheist. So for some of you who do not know what an atheist is, it's just a person that doesn't believe in God or doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. But his wife, she was a believer. And she and the children decided they were going to the Christmas program that their church was going to have. So she invited him along and he refused, saying the story is just a fairy tale. Off went his wife and children to the church. Well, the wind began to pick up and the snow began to fall, and a blizzard had hit. And a short time later, during that blizzard, he heard some thumps at the door or on the yard. He lived in a small farmyard. And he wondered what was going on. Well, he looked out his window, but he could only see a few feet, so he decided to get dressed. And he went out and he looked, and he found geese were trying to fly around in the storm, in a blinding storm. And they couldn't find their way. And the comment he had made to his wife before they had gone to the church program was, "Why would God send his Son? It makes no sense." So off he went. He decided he was going to help these geese. The harder he tried, the further they would fly away, and he couldn't get close to them. He tried everything. He opened the barn doors wide open and tried to get them to go into the barn. That didn't work either. Finally, in the midst of the storm, he's standing in the middle of his yard, and he says, "If only I could become a goose." So he thought about that for a moment, and he goes to the barn, and he grabs one of his geese, and he throws it out into the storm. A little while later, The wild geese followed the other goose into the barn and into safety. And as he was headed back to the house, he pondered at what had just transpired. He was wondering, what happened? How did this work? And then it hit him. That's why God had to send his son. And for the first time ever, that man fell down on his knees and he prayed. He then fully realized why God had to send his son in the human form. I think it was a beautiful story, and again, it's not word for word, but I think you get the point. And that's certainly why God needed to send his son, and I want to look at that a little bit today, but I don't want to focus so much just on the Christmas story itself. What was put on my heart was, you know, where are we as far as our relationship goes when we look at God? And as I was preparing for this message, I was just thinking about the righteousness of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 7. I want to read a couple of familiar passages there, verses 14 and 15. So Isaiah 7, verse 14 and 15. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and choose the good." When I read that, it brought the question to my mind. What do we as a people choose? Do we choose the good, and do we refuse the evil that the world has to offer? I don't think it's any surprise to us in the culture that we live that there is still much evil in our culture and in our world. But the beauty of God restoring us as his people, the hope that it should give us, and the hope that I hope you're going to have when you leave today. If we move forward a couple of chapters, in chapter 11, I want to read verses 1 to 5. It says there, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be girdled of his loins, and faithfulness in the girdle of his reins." In these couple of passages, in verse 4 and 5, it mentions righteousness. I know at Christmas time we can get distracted with all sorts of things. What I want to encourage you is when you're getting together with your family, for your friends, that you consider and that you hold on to righteousness. And you celebrate Christmas for the exact reason why it should be celebrated. I'm not opposed to the sharing of gifts and things like that. And I don't know how everybody does it in their home. That's not really what I'm here to talk about today. But I thought about it a little bit about the whole gift thing. And we see what the world is doing, and we see how people are spending so much money and losing focus on the true meaning of Christmas. Now, when we get together in our home, we always start the morning with Scripture. That's just the way we do it. Now, years ago, we used to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. We're not a very good choir. So we've kind of put that aside and we've gone to turn to reading. We're better at reading than singing. But that's how we start our day. Reminding everybody how important Jesus Christ is. And I think that should be our message as a church, as a body of believers. How many of you are going to have a gathering at this holiday time, or perhaps you've had one already, and there's non-believers in your family, in your midst? We go through that. That's very real in our family. I was recently in the hospital. I have a bit of a heart condition. And I was recently in the hospital. My dad came there. And we were talking. This was just about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. So my dad and I were sitting there, and I looked at my dad, and I said, "You know, Dad," I says, "there's one thing about Christmas or about my relationship with God that I will not be slack on. And I will speak about how I feel about my Lord and Savior. Whether those non-believers are there or not, I'm going to express my love for the Lord and what he's done for me." So whether I'm welcomed or not, that's irrelevant to me. Of course, my dad certainly supported what I had said. But there are times I think we need to make sure that we as messengers, and I'm talking to all of us here today, that we deliver the message of truth and of righteousness. We need to focus ourselves on Jesus Christ. I had a visit with an individual who admittedly said she was living in sin. She told me she believed in God, and her grandmother had spoken to her because of the conditions that she's living and was very upset with her. And I asked this young woman, I said, "Well, ultimately, what did your grandmother say that was scripturally wrong?" And she could not answer me. Maybe grandma said something that was a little harsh and it maybe hurt a bit. I think we've probably all experienced that at some time. But the message was clear. The message was simple. What you're doing is wrong. And here grandma's trying to explain to her granddaughter how much she loved her and wanted her to understand how important Jesus Christ is. That's what we have before us today. So how important is Jesus Christ in your life? Do you live so people realize and people know that you are a follower of Christ? I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Beginning with the first verse, it says there, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make him my judge. I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revelings. We are told here to listen. Listen to the righteousness of God. We're told to lift our eyes up to heaven. And we're told not to fear man. In other words, I am hopeful that this will give us the courage, not only at this time of the year, but throughout the year, to express our love for Jesus Christ. You know, I find it when we go to the Sunday school programs and we get to sit down and we get to listen to them, and you get to watch the little children and they sing their songs and they say their verses, and it's such a special time. So yesterday evening, as we were having our program, they were singing a song, and it's much like here. So we had, the students were all up in front, and there were, the first class was on the left side, and there was one teacher at one end and another teacher at the other end, and there was four little boys. That was their class, just young little boys, cute as could be. And they sang this song, and they're singing, and as they sang the chorus, each time they sang a line, the chorus got louder. And this one little boy, you could pick him out from the entire choir, because he just let it all out. The teachers were smiling, the students were smiling behind him, and we as a congregation were smiling. It brought joy to us. Why? This little boy just let it pour out of his heart. And it's a beautiful thing to behold. And I'm sure you probably have had stories like that in this church, when you have a young child come up and just express their love for the Lord. You know, out of the mouths of babes, sometimes the most tremendous things come out. It was very uplifting and very encouraging. I want to turn to the book of John chapter 1, verse 14 till 18. And I want to focus a little bit on verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as much of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. the Word was made flesh. That is referring to the birth of our Savior. That is referring to Jesus Christ, that he came into this world, and thus we celebrate Christmas. And like I said earlier, I don't know how all of you celebrate Christmas, but I certainly hope you invite him in. I hope you invite him into your homes, but most importantly, into your hearts. Not just for today, but for all the days that you walk this earth. Pardon me. Verse 15 goes on to say, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So I want to look at verse 17 a little bit, the second part of it. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, we talk a lot about that in our churches, about grace and truth. I want to encourage you to express that. I know sometimes it happens in the family when we stand firm on what we believe, that it brings division. I understand that. And sometimes it is very hard when you gather and a brother, a sister, or an aunt, or an uncle refuses to come, or a child, and they don't want to be any part of the celebration of Christ. I know that's hard, because I live with that too. And it hurts. But when we look at what Jesus has truly done, what God has truly done for us, we again turn to hope, don't we? You know, just like that story I shared with you with those geese. That man, I wonder how many years his wife had tried to get him to come to church. And finally it happened that he understood. So if you're going through one of those situations where it's difficult, keep on praying. Keep on trusting God. And I hope that you're going to experience grace and truth throughout your holiday season. And I want to encourage you again to keep that in mind as we celebrate our Christmas season. Before we go over to the second portion of our service, I want to give us all an opportunity for some time in prayer. So I'm not sure if we have guests from out of town or whatever, if you're not familiar with this, but we kneel at this point, and then we have a silent prayer. If you are not comfortable with that, then I would just encourage you to bow and pray. So for all of you that are able, I would ask now that you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith. I want to thank you for that singing and playing, and having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. You know, when I was going to Sunday school, back then we were still singing German songs. That was one of my favorite songs in German. I don't know German very well, but I do remember that one, and I always liked that one in German for some reason. As we continue this message this morning, I want to turn to a very familiar section of Scripture, I think, for most of us, and that's John 3. I want to begin at verse 11. 11 till 21. And these are Jesus' words, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but that he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, that through the world, through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men have loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, I think when we look at John 3:16, many of you will know that by heart. But why did God send his Son? Because of his love for each one of us. And I know sometimes that's very difficult to understand and to grasp. One of the stories that came out last night at our program dates back to 1944, during World War II, about a young woman who needed to get back to safety, and she had gone from area to area to try to find safety. Firstly, it's hard to grasp why this world has gone through two world wars, and we continue to hear of more wars and rumors of wars, but Scripture teaches that's what we will hear. But nonetheless, this young woman feared for her life as she walked in areas that were unsafe. And she was guided by a man for a little while, and then he left. And then she prayed. And suddenly, she saw this light. And she feared, oh, here come the airplanes, here come the bombs. Because she was so accustomed to that. But there was no sound of an airplane and no bombs dropping. Moments later, she turns and looks, and she realizes where she has to go to find safety. There's a building on the side of a mountain. And it's a treacherous climb. It's raining, it's cold, and it's slippery. She begins to walk, and as she was walking, she realized the light was guiding her. It was guiding her down a path. And she finally gets to her goal and is welcomed in by her companions, and she's speechless. It takes her a little while, and they began to ask questions. How did you get up here in the dark, alone, while it's raining, and you had no lantern, nothing? And she told them the story. And they could hardly believe what she was saying. And as I mentioned, it was raining. One of the people that were in that building came up to her and put their hand on her coat. And they looked at her in amazement and said, "Your coat is completely dry." She said, "I know." God led her. Are you allowing God to lead you in your life? Again, we can be distracted by so many things. It's very simple, isn't it? Let's think about it for a moment. What's probably the number one distraction we have in today's society? Most of you have one. It's your cell phone. Most of us have a cell phone. We can be contacted now 24/7. And of course, in some instances, that's very, very good. You know, there's an emergency. It's always good to know that we can be contacted. How many of us are taking out our cell phones and looking at something while we're supposed to be doing something else? We're distracted with the concerns of whatever we're concerned about. What I want to encourage you today is let us keep focused on the task at hand that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. And that is getting the message of salvation out to the lost. That is why God sent his son. You know, I don't know if you've had a chance to read your bulletin, but I sure found it interesting. I don't know who writes your bulletin and who does this, but it says here, God sent us a Savior. I would encourage you to read that. You know, there's a lot of power in those words, especially the last caption. I want to encourage you to be that person that God wants you to be. Remember I read earlier, we're not supposed to be too worried about what other people think? I'm saying that kind of verbatim, or not verbatim, but out of text here. But let's make sure we're doing God's will. You know, I find it interesting when Mary and Joseph, when Jesus was 12 years old, and they're heading out of town, and Jesus is left behind, and he's talking to the church leaders. And when they come back for him, his comment, I find that fascinating. Because he said to his parents, don't you know I need to be about my father's business? That's astounding for a young boy to say something like that. And I'm hopeful. And I want to encourage you. And God is counting on us as believers that we're going to be about his business. That you and I are going to be out there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all have opportunity to do that. And, you know, just when it comes, I know sometimes it feels a little awkward, and maybe even you don't feel qualified. Just let the Holy Spirit take control. Let him guide you into all truth. That's a promise we are given in Scripture, that the Holy Spirit will do that. I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Start at verse 9, it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And In verse 11, it talks about purpose. And some people ask, what is the purpose of my life? I think it's laid out here for us. I really do. Verse 12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that we faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. So that is, again, my hope for you, that we are listening to what the Spirit of God is saying to the inner man, to what's inside, to what's really, truly important, and that we will be rooted and grounded in our faith and our love for Jesus Christ. So we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read a few verses there, beginning in verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ." Through Christ Jesus. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." We have been very, very richly blessed by our Heavenly Father. Let's not forget that, and let's not take it for granted. Let's continue to show the world that we are different, that we follow an awesome and wonderful God. I know there's many questions that come when people that are struggling in their faith, perhaps, and illness or sickness comes along and they begin to ask why. Where's God now? Well, he hasn't left you. He's still there. And I've probably said this here before, but I'll say it again. So far, as I've looked through the scriptures, I have found that the only way that I'm going to get to heaven is I'm going to have to either die, or the rapture is going to have to happen. That's it. So either we see death, or the rapture, and then our body, either way, our body is going to be changed. We don't need to be afraid of that. We just don't need to be afraid. Not if we believe all the promises of God. And fortunately for us, he sent us the greatest messenger ever, his son. He sent Jesus Christ to deliver that message for us. So I just want to encourage you to cling to that hope. And in John chapter 1, I read from there earlier, but I want to go back to verses 12 and 13. I know we had read 14 to 18 earlier, but I want to go to 12 to 13 now. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." So have you been born into the kingdom of God? Are you part of God's family? And if you are, friends, then we just have so much to celebrate. But again, I want to encourage us to celebrate it in the right way. I want to conclude with 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. It says, "There, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Here, the scripture is teaching us that we are supposed to obey the truth, and that is the Holy Bible. That is where we need to go to find truth, and we are to love each other. Even though maybe sometimes we sit at the Christmas gathering and we know that a brother or a sister is not there because of a disagreement, we still need to love them. If that's going on in your home, I encourage you to reach out to them. Reach out to them to see if you can't fix that. That is not just a Christmas wish. That's part of Holy Communion. That's a part about being a part of this church of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is huge. You know, if we're not going to forgive, the scripture teaches us, then God will not forgive us. So let's reach out. I want to encourage you to help where you can help during this Christmas season. There are many people that are alone and lonely. If you can just reach out to them, it means so very much to them. So I hope the message you walk out of here with today is we need to seek after the righteousness of God. We seek after His truth. We experience His grace. We extend that grace to others, but never wavering in the truth of the Word. And that is my wish and prayer for each one of you. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning's service, Lord, we just thank You again for Your grace, for Your mercy, for Your love that You show each one of us. Lord, we ask at this time that You soften hearts that are hard, that relationships between fellow brothers and sisters can be restored, and yet most importantly, Lord, that our relationship with You is where it needs to be, that we are right with You, and that we celebrate what You have done for us. And Father God, we just thank You again for the gift of Your Son, who from glory came to this earth to reveal to the world how much You love us. Father, we ask that You grant us wisdom and patience and courage and this unfeigned love that we just read about. Lord, that we would be a shining light to this world, an example of a true believer in You. So we thank You for this time of fellowship. Lord, I want to thank You for the songs that we've sung and are about to sing. Thank You for everyone that has come this morning. Lord, may You bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name we pray. With thanksgiving, amen. So at this time, I want to give you another opportunity for some time in prayer. So again, for all of you that are able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us. As far as this morning's worship service goes, I have nothing more to share with you. I do want to say a heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you for coming out this morning. And on behalf of my family, I want to wish you all a very blessed Christmas and a happy new year. Let's bow for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You are now dismissed. Thank you for coming.